Blog Talk Radio.
Dolly.
And I love you too, Jakey. Hey, everybody. It's Dolly here. You're listening, obviously, to the Dolly McCarthy Show. Do I have enough songs that say that in this show? What do you think? I got to get to some sponsors, but I wanted to say hi to everybody and let you know we have a great show coming up. I got to thank my sponsors who make this show possible every week that airs on Blog Talk Radio, Slam Internet Radio, Chewyville Radio. Hello to all my good friends there. Thank you all for staying in touch. And I'm going to give some love to you all. I've heard from you on Chewyville Radio that I didn't give you enough love in the last month. And so you're getting it today, that's for sure. I appreciate you guys listening and following through on good charity events that I promote and talk about and support. You all follow through and you give your best effort. And we have to say hello to all of our new listeners on WCKG, 1530 a.m. on Sundays at noon. What a nice way to start your Sunday afternoon, listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show, the feel-good show, the good show, I like to call it, that airs live every Thursday morning from 9:30 until 10:30. This week is no different than the past weeks that have been, we're on almost 100 and some odd shows. 120 shows, I think. I got to do some math here. I got to check. It's my understanding there'd be no math. I got to do some checking. I'll get back to you. But we're definitely over like 120 shows, something like that. Anyway, we've got some good guests this week. My old boss is joining me to talk. My old boss, Scott Picken. He is the news director at WTVO, my old stomping grounds in Rockford, Illinois. Good old Rockford, Illinois. He's going to be talking to us shortly. We're going to talk to him about not any secrets in my closet of my days in Rockford, which were very short, but nonetheless, there's enough good stories there, I have to say, a lot of great memories, and I'm very fond of my old boss, Scott Picken. I called him, or texted him, and I asked him if he would be on the show this morning to give us kind of the rundown, the lowdown, what's going on right now with the towns, the people that were destroyed and the people's homes that were destroyed, the families and lives and businesses that were affected by the tornado that ripped through Fairfield, Illinois, Rochelle, Belvedere was affected too. Hit by the storm was pretty bad. There was the Summerfield Farm and Zoo that got destroyed there. So we're going to check in and see how things are going there and try to figure out how we can help. I've made some posts on my Facebook wall as well, so go to the Dolly McCarthy Show Facebook and see how you can help out those affected by the tornado and the severe weather that barreled through Fairdale, Illinois, Rochelle, and Belvedere. These are towns that I covered very recently when I was a reporter anchor in Rockford, and then even before that when I was a student at NIU, I would cover the school district, school board meetings in Rochelle. So it's something we need to check in on and see what we can do to help out. That's what we're all about on the show, the good show. Good things happening here. We also have Janet Derrick from Naperville Cares who's going to call in and we'll check in with her and see how things are going with Naperville Cares. We've got a big fundraiser coming up, Cuisine for a Cause. That's happening April 25th at Navistar from 6:30 until 10:30. You can enjoy signature dishes from over 20 popular area restaurants in Naperville, open bar, wine and beer tasting, live and silent auctions. Dress up. It's a Saturday night, everybody. And the mission of Naperville Cares is to help local families in financial crisis meet their essential needs by providing emergency financial support and resources. And so the 12th annual Cuisine for a Cause is coming up, and Janet will be on the show to talk about that a little bit with us. And finally, We are going to have my friend Dan over at one of my favorite, well, I should say the favorite, my favorite, it's official now, my favorite hot dog stand on the planet Earth. Dan is a general manager over at Gene and Jude's Hot Dogs in River Grove, and we'll be talking to him. We're having hot dogs for breakfast again. Hey, I told you this is a good show. I didn't say it was a healthy show. I said it's good. It's good. I want to do a shout-out to my Snaperville Trolley and Tours. They have four beautiful trolleys for weddings, bar hops, birthday parties, light tours, bat and bar mitzvahs, and much more. It's always more fun on the Naperville Trolley. Check out NapervilleTrolley.com and book your next ride on the Naperville Trolley. The Naperville Park District, they provide recreation and park experiences that enrich the quality of life for our community. Check out NapervilleParks.org. That summer program is coming out soon. They got some great golf lessons in there, too. You know I love to play golf, so get the kids out there on the golf course this year and take a few lessons through the Naperville Park District. That's how I first learned. My other sponsor, Arthur Murray Dance in Naperville and in Oak Brook, they didn't invent dancing, just the best way to teach it. ArthurMurrayNaperville.com. Give them a call. Check out their website. And if you do, if you mention the Deli McCarthy Show, your first class is free. All Service Limousine, where service is their middle name. Book your next ride at 877-GetLimo.com. Sullivan's Steakhouse, another proud sponsor of the Deli McCarthy Show, offering guests a unique Naperville steakhouse experience. We have a location in Chicago, too, by the way. By the way, I was there last Sunday. It was a beautiful, beautiful farewell dinner to our outgoing mayor, Mayor George Pradel, who's going to be on this show very soon. I think it's next week. And so they had a lovely dinner. Yep, he'll be on next week, folks. Mayor Pradel from Naperville will be on next week. You know, he has been the mayor 5 terms. I've covered every one of his elections, and except this past one. I was honored that they asked me to come and toast the mayor at this beautiful, lovely dinner at Sullivan's Steakhouse last Sunday. So Sullivan's, great job. Delicious food. Steaks there are incredible. I only started out eating a little bit of the steak, and I finished the whole freaking 4-ounce steak. Thanks a lot, Sullivan's. I'm in training for Arthur Murray, the dance competition next month. I'm going to give you guys details about that, too. All right. No, I mean that in the nicest way. Bricconi's, locations in North and South Naperville. It's the kind of food your mama wanted you to eat. I should know. I'm a mama, and I take my kids there. Check out Bricconi's, locations in North and South Naperville. www.bricconis.com. You can give them a call and order pizza. Do you know they have a Dolly special? Yeah, I know. I know. Come on. Dolly overload here, but they do. And if you ask for that, you get 10% off your pizza. And do you know what kind of pizza it is? You have to call and find out. If you haven't been listening to the show for as long, like all of our new WCKG listeners, you're going to learn a lot about this crazy gal from the Northwest side. So check out Bricconi's, order the Dolly special, and you get 10% off their pizza. Finally, I'm going to give the rest of these sponsors a little later, but I have to do a shout-out to our good friends at NapervilleAlarm.com. They are pleased to be the official alarm company and sponsor of the Deli McCarthy Show, serving the community, families, and businesses for over 13 years, providing security, fire protection, CCTV, and more, including smart home technology. Let NapervilleAlarm.com customize a security system to suit your needs. System monitoring starting at just $19 a month. That's pretty cheap. You know, they did put one in my house. I had one installed, and I have to say, it is fantastic. I think I've talked about this on before. I won't go into it, but having that at my fingertips on my smartphone, I can adjust the temperature in my house. I can see who's at the front door. I can even see what time my teenage kids get in the door at night. If they're lying to me, I can always check the phone because the alarm registers the time, and it sends the message to Mama. Mama Bear, that's what my kids call me. So it's a great way to protect your home, but also keep an eye on those kids. All right, we'll be right back. We are going to have a great show, but we're going to have Scott Picken from WTVO Rockford coming up next. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Molly McCarthy Show.
Yeah, that's not right. Try it again.
You're listening to the Deli McCarthy Show.
That's better. Let's roll.
Have you been thinking about straightening your teeth and don't want to wear braces? Hi, this is Dr. Manal Ibrahim, American Board Certified Orthodontist and Invisalign Elite Provider. Here at Innovative Orthodontic Centers, I use the most innovative techniques to provide outstanding treatment to all my patients. And with Invisalign, the clearest way to a perfect smile, it is literally our secret that you're straightening your teeth. Come and talk to me about accelerated Invisalign, perfect teeth in half the time, and see what the buzz is all about. At Innovative Orthodontic Centers, we are also an impression-free office. Can you imagine that? No more molds of your teeth. Using an intraoral scanner, we take a video of your teeth that gets sent right to Invisalign. Call 855-563-3735 or visit us at orthocenters.org. I look forward to meeting you.
Innovative Orthodontic Centers. Voted best orthodontist in Naperville 4 years running. Call 855-563-3735. Start accelerated Invisalign the same day as your consult and receive an iPad mini. Stipulations do apply.
Hey Chicago, Focus on Tomorrow would like to invite you to an event that benefits local education. Focus on Tomorrow's Unplug and Play fundraiser on May 9th supports programs to help keep kids working toward their future. Head on over to Killer Spin House on May 9th at 6 p.m. for food, drinks, and to meet Ji Soo Ki of ABC7's Windy City Live. Visit www.focus-on-tomorrow.org/events for more details. So join us on May 9th, Chicago, and help us stay focused on tomorrow.
Okay, we're back. Thank you guys for waiting for that. Before we get to my first guest, Scott Picken, my old boss from WTVO in Rockford, I wanted to mention that, you know, the month of April, if you haven't heard, is the month of autism awareness. In 2004, one in every 10,000 children was diagnosed with autism, and today that number is a staggering 1 in 68. Let me repeat that, 1 in 68. As instances of autism continue to grow, so too does the need for resources, services, and real-time solutions to the challenges faced by those on the spectrum and their loved ones. Turning Point Autism Foundation is committed to providing that support. To learn more or to participate in Autism Awareness Month this April, please visit www.turningpointautismfoundation.org. And a quick note here, you can test drive a Chevy, a brand new Chevy. Go test drive a Chevy. Chevrolet of Naperville is offering these test drives for autism. They're donating, for every test drive, $20 to Turning Point Autism Foundation. Isn't that cool? I've already taken about 3 test drives. You can do as many as you want. And they're fun. They definitely are fun. So go check out Chevy of Naperville. Thank you, Chevrolet of Naperville, for that. And Turning Point Autism, thanks for putting out the word and all that you, all the good things that you do for our kids struggling on the autism spectrum there. That's April, Autism Awareness Month. Okay, we've got to move along here. But first, I had a working song for my old boss, but I'm going to have to just play this. Oh, I can't find it now. You know, I'm so bad on this board. Here we go. Nah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Okay, yes, we've already established that it's a Dolly McCarthy Show. I had this really cool jingle to play for my old boss who's on the line right now, Scott Picken, news director of WTVO, WQRF-TV in Rockford, Illinois. It's the ABC and NBC, Fox affiliate in Rockford, Illinois. And let me just start out with say hello to Scott before we jump right into everything that happened last week. I was thinking of you on my drive home from Chicago. Scott, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Can you hear me okay?
Good. Awesome. I'm sorry. Yes, I can hear you just fine. I apologize for the I'm battling a slight cold here. So if I sound a little hoarse to you, it's just been a long week, to say the least.
Oh, I can imagine. I was driving, like I said, I was driving home from Chicago last Thursday night, and I had a great day at work, and the sky was clear. I mean, I was afraid that I'd be driving home in a storm. I got home safely, and I was thankful to that. And hanging out with my kids, I flipped on the TV, and I saw what was going on in Rockford, and just shock waves. And I thought of you, and I texted you, but I never got a response. I never expected that because I knew what you were doing. Just insanity. Tell us about what happened on Thursday afternoon.
Well, I think that, you know, we had a good deal of warning that we were in a dangerous period of time. We had actually put out plans 2 days earlier regarding, you know, and we called everyone in. So we were definitely on guard. We knew this was, there was potential there.
Like a month ahead of time, April 4th.
Well,
right?
I mean, it was a lot of warning about this storm. And so, you know, as the day went on, I'll be honest with you, I actually thought we lucked out, that we'd, you know, we dodged a bullet there because we weren't getting the clearing that, that you were getting down in the Naperville and the Chicago area. And that, as you know, as a longtime Midwesterner, you know, it's that heat and that sun that really tends to, you know, make these storms pop and what have you. And we just weren't getting that. But my chief meteorologist, Candace King, who you know well, basically felt that there was still significant danger out there. And so, you know, we were just basically kind of waiting on, to see what was coming. And the first few storms we had, while they did produce tornado warnings, really were not significant. They were your normal Midwestern thunderstorms, severe thunderstorms. But and while there were tornadoes in them, apparently, or, you know, radar-indicated tornadoes, not too bad. But then this massive storm from Iowa began to approach, and as it did, it spawned all the tornadoes, six in our area, I believe 11 total, that obviously you saw all the damage and destruction from afterward that began outside of Ashton, but, you know, Rochelle and Fairdale, which is about 20 miles south of here, were obviously the two most badly impacted areas.
Absolutely. And then we had Belvedere hit by the storms pretty badly too, right?
Yeah,
and
it was Southern Boone County, right. Belvedere had some minor damage, but most of the thing about Belvedere was is that the place just got hit with a ton of debris from the storm. The tornado sort of petered out, we believe, in Southern Boone County, but just dumped a whole lot of, you know, we were finding all sorts of stuff over there that belonged to people in Rochelle and Fairdale. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, Fairdale, if people are not familiar with it, it's surrounded by farms. It's this little town. You should see it up in the from a bird's eye view. It's such a small town and just destroyed all the homes there. Rochelle, 30 homes were destroyed there. 12 people miraculously survived being stuck in the Grubstakers restaurant. I used to cover stories in the little town of Rochelle. I don't even think there's a stoplight there. But it's just amazing how there's so much land, and why does the town get hit when there's so much land around it? I wish the tornado could have just taken a little turn to the left, and it could have just missed it. But no, unfortunately, Fairdale was hit pretty badly there. There isn't even a grain elevator or a school in Fairdale. The kids go to Kirkland. Aside from a metal fabricating building, there isn't much else for industry in Fairdale. There's a population there of roughly 150 people. The core of the people there have lived there probably their whole life there. So when the storms hit, Scott, you got the word, were the report, I wonder, it was at that time of night, everyone's kind of wrapping up from their day of reporting. Did you have everybody on standby? And
yeah, we had everyone on standby.
I had to
stay in the building. I had to help direct our in-house coverage, But basically, you know, one of the interesting things about this storm is because it went to the south of us, basically the, you know, we were cut off. This was a very unusual, I mean, I've lived in the Midwest a long time, and I got to tell you, this storm was pretty crazy in a couple of respects. One was just its duration. You know, usually when you're dealing with tornadic storms, you're dealing with wall clouds, you're dealing with, you know, a long line of thunderstorms that produce tornadoes, and, you know, some will stretch out a little bit. But this storm, you know, through the Rockford area and through Fairdale and Rochelle lasted for, in some places, a good 90 minutes. And that was part, that
90
was part
minutes?
Of, yeah. No, I know.
Wow.
It just kept,
they,
it just.
You did say it right. I heard that it is very, very rare, this magnitude of a storm. And it was, for the record, EF4 tornado.
Correct.
Winds of up to 200 miles per hour.
So our dilemma was basically at first is that, you know, we knew about, because of Candace's warnings and because of some damage reports that were coming in from sheriff's offices, we knew about where the damage was, but we couldn't get to it. We were cut off, basically, because, you know, obviously on the north side of any tornado, you're dealing with a ton of rain, you're dealing with no visibility, and, you know, we just weren't in a position where we were going to be able to drive through this storm and risk having somebody hit by a tornado. On the south side, obviously, you know, where the visibility is typically much better for a tornado. You know, you could have seen it and avoided it, but on the north side, no way. So what we were forced to do basically was to stage crews along. If anyone's familiar with the U.S. 20 corridor that goes to the south of Rockford and also links 39 to 90, we were basically forced to stage crews there and just pretty much have them park until the storm went in. We were able to go live to them a couple of times, but, you know, so when they were getting hailed on and what have you, but we didn't want them moving. We did, you know, and, you know, we were pretty sure we were to the north of where the tornadoes were, but obviously, you know, that it's a dangerous profession in that regard. There is a chance that, you know, a tornado can come down on top of you, and that's the difficult part about this business. And, you know, and I can tell you that there were people in the field were very, very concerned about, you know, how this storm was developing. But because we were able to stage, we actually were able to get a live camera into Fairdale after the storm passed. We were the only ones actually to get a camera in the Fairdale that night. And so the damage just coming out of there was just incredible. My crew was just completely overwhelmed by it. And it was just complete and utter chaos in that town. And so they were live there pretty much from about, we have a 9 o'clock news, obviously we're Fox, and then we have a 10 o'clock news on ABC, and we were live from Fairdale pretty much the entire time, just showing people the damage and the destruction, and people coming up to us and just telling us what happened and things along those lines. It was really, really I mean, you know, like I said, you and I have both been through, you know, tornadoes before and things like that. But yeah, that town took a complete direct hit, and the devastation was just remarkable. You really feel for a lot of those people, because, you know, the thing about Fairdale is I think there's a real debate out there over whether this town will be rebuilt. As you mentioned, a lot of long-term residents there, many of the people there did not have insurance because their houses have been paid off, you know, decades ago. And you know, it's one of those traditional Midwestern cities, you know, that existed for agricultural purposes, but really towns that exist for agricultural purposes, but really, you know, in modern ag parlance, just is kind of more of a traditional place people live rather than having a real reason for existing. And there's some real questions right now over whether, you know, Fairdale will rebuild, because, you know, a lot of those people have family in the area, and they've told us they're just going to move away, stay with family, maybe rebuild someplace else, and what have you. But so that's another tragedy about this, is that, you know, these people who called this town home for decades and maybe their entire lives, you know, a lot of them are going to be uprooted.
Oh, it's really sad to hear, because I just love these little small towns in Illinois, and it's amazing to look at it from the airplanes and the shots they took from drones, and looking down this cute little town just completely destroyed. You hope that they can rebuild. I mean, what are the odds? The last time we saw a storm of this magnitude, or EF4 stronger, was in 1990. I was actually in college at the time at NIU. I saw the storm in the distance, and it hit Plainfield. It was August 28, 1990. That was the strongest tornado on record since 1950 for DeKalb County and Ogle Counties. And then we have this one now. And luckily, this one, well, it's not luckily. Only two women passed away, were taken as victims. And, you know, there was an interesting story about, did you do any stories about these two ladies that passed away? They were friends.
Right. And Dick Durbin actually went to the Senate floor talking about their relationship and what have you. The gentleman, the widow, I'm sorry, the husband of the woman, Geraldine Schultz, who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was interesting. They actually found a photo of them together near Marengo. And he was reunited with it down at the Kirkland Fire Department. And, you know, and he had some scratches on his head and what have you. And we also, you know, a neighbor of theirs who we talked to, also talked about the fact that, you know, they had a her mom is disabled, and they literally had a situation where so they had no way to get her to the basement easily. So what they did is she ran down to the basement, and then the woman's husband literally threw her down the stairs to save her from the tornado, and then he had to dive into the basement himself because at that time he literally watched the door behind him be torn off as he was diving into the basement. And so yeah, you can just tell
how... And what
town
was this then? Was
this
Fairdale?
This is Fairdale. This is all Fairdale, yeah. And, you know, and the thing about this storm, and Candace was very, very clear about this with everybody, extremely fast moving. Very
fast. It's amazing how many people survived.
Yeah, well, it really is.
Yeah, the
really
one thing
is.
I was curious about, those folks in Fairdale, were most of them home, and they just, since there was so much advance notice, were they prepared? Did they have basements? Where did they go? I heard one lady who was right next door to Geraldine was in her hallway. She just
right,
had no time
right.
to do anything but duck in a hallway.
Well, they don't have tornado sirens out there. That was one of the issues. Apparently there are no tornado sirens in that area because Fairdale is so isolated. You know, there are obviously all over DeKalb County there are tornado sirens, but and I believe they do have them from Monroe Center, which is about 4 miles west. But apparently they did not have access to tornado sirens. And, you know, but the other situation is obviously is that even if they did, you know, they're all indoors. You know, tornado sirens don't have the effect indoors that they do outdoors. They're made, you know, they're designed mainly for people who are, you know, outside and what have you. And so, yeah, a lot of people who we talked to out there, you know, said they were, you know, they were able to get to their basements and what have you, and they were prepared. But, you know, clearly because the storm moved so fast, I think it really surprised a lot of people. I don't think people really expected the storm to get on top of them like it did. And again, you know, the tough thing about a tornado like this, especially with the large storm system, was they were obscured from it. They couldn't see it. There was heavy rain, heavy hail. It was dark outside. You know, it hit about 6:30, 6:40, I want to say. They were kind of, you know, really literally in the dark. I think, you know, a lot of them were late to get down there. And the speed of this storm, I think just surprised everybody. We did a story the other day with a businessman from North Carolina who was driving south on I-39 and got literally within feet of the tornado, unintentionally, of course. He filmed it. It's on our website, mystateline.com.
Is this the Sam Smith guy?
Yeah, Sam Smith.
Sam Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you did. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. His whole thing was basically.
I'm just telling my listeners, go on YouTube if you haven't seen it. This man captured. He was just dangerously close to this tornado, and I can't imagine what he was thinking, being feet away practically from this tornado. But he did say he was on the phone with his son, which gave him a little bit.
Yes, he was. Well, what happened was is that, you know, he was same situation that a lot of people had. He was heading south, so he was in the dark. He was in the, you know, the rain, the hail, and all that, and did not expect to see a tornado coming around the corner. And, you know, and he was also, you know, one of the things he told us, he was surprised how fast it moved. I mean, you could see it going across the highway. It was moving fast. I mean, that, as tornadoes go, I mean, you know, that thing was just really, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a good speed estimator for tornadoes, but the speed on which it got on top of him was just incredible. And then, of course, just to see him just feet from it, lucky man. But
imagine a car, 200 miles per hour. You know, just imagine the speed there.
It was incredible video.
So the town is just a mess. The cleanup effort is been ongoing. And we need to obviously help these victims of the tornado. I don't know if there's any. I'm sure there's state money that's coming, but as we all know, there's not that much money in the state. So, what are they looking to get from people outside of this area to help these families, these communities?
Well, we have a fundraiser going on. We have a telethon going on right now as we speak. We've been on all day since 5 a.m. this morning. And that money is going to the Red Cross. Now, you know, the Red Cross, obviously, there are different ways to contribute and help, depending on what your personal preferences are. You know, the Red Cross, you're dealing with the essentials of disaster relief, obviously. There are relief centers right now in both Rochelle and in near Fairdale in the Kirkland area where the Red Cross has coordination centers down there with other agencies and what have you, working hard to get these people, you know, the help they need, you know, whatever that may be. And it can be a million different things. Mental health services, even things along those lines. But obviously, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of getting help and getting aid and what have you, there's a lot of forms to be filled out. There's a lot of red tape. And so, you know, the Red Cross is just essential for that. And the Red Cross has really been in the forefront in terms of getting into these areas and helping, you know, provide these victims with just stuff that you don't even think of, shovels, garbage bags, just the essentials for tornadoes relief. So, if people want to help out the Red Cross today, they can call our hotline, which is 815-964-4637, or they can go to our website, mystateline.com, and there's information there, or even on Facebook. It's facebook.com, My Eyewitness News. So, you know, that's one thing that's being done. You know, the interesting thing here is the fact that, you know, and it's a bit of a debate in the nation as well, is that they're likely not going to be eligible for FEMA aid because it's too localized. And as we all know, the Washington tornado back in 2013, which was equally as devastating, really, that didn't qualify for FEMA aid. So there's going to be it's going to be a kind of an interesting thing to see how these people – you know, what's done to help these people recover and what have you. And people are giving, you know, giving funds to various ways and things along those lines. But I think there's still an open question regarding, you know, how some of these people are going to be able to recover and what they're going to do. And like I said, in Rochelle, you know, that was a fairly new subdivision. And I'm pretty sure
that was 30
most
homes destroyed. In
Rochelle. Most every home is going to be insured.
You would
the
think
County Sheriff
well,
himself was one of the victims. But in Fairdale, it's, like I said, I mean, I think there's a real question of whether this town's going to be able to survive that. Because
how many homes were in Fairdale that were destroyed? How many homes?
I want to, you know, if you'd asked me yesterday, I could have given you that answer. I want to say it was upwards of 60. But I can't, honestly, I cannot remember, and I don't want to, I don't want to give inaccurate information here, but, you know, there's been so much information coming in, it's really hard to keep it all there, but for all intents and purposes, the town was leveled. I was actually in Fairdale, helping with coverage the day after the storm, and it's leveled. I mean, there's the homes that are even damaged, you know, that weren't completely leveled, are damaged probably beyond any reasonable hope of repair. And so, you know, again, it's going to be a long-term rehabilitation effort there. They just started hauling out debris yesterday. That's how bad it's been. They have not been able to get to a position where they can get debris out of there until nearly 1 week after that storm hit. They're fairly confident they'll have it all cleaned up by next week now because they're being very aggressive in getting debris out of there. But you think about that. It takes almost a week to even just start hauling debris out of there. That's how bad the destruction was.
Yeah. Well, Scott, I really appreciate you giving us an update on what's going on down there. Now, as Scott mentioned, and I will post this on our show's Facebook page too. I'm going to give that number again for people to make a donation. You also can go to the Village of Kirkland. .com, their website, and there are three different sites or points there you can click to volunteer. I know there were a lot of people in my neighborhood that actually drove up there and volunteered. But
we've had people from as far as Florida.
We
found people from as far as Florida who are there, It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So, Scott, why don't you give that number one more time, and thank you for coming on. I wanted you to come on the show and talk about our good old days with me around your newsroom, but we'll have to plan that for another time. But it's so good to hear your voice. Scott, I have so much adoration and respect for this man, my old boss. I sound like George Bailey here. And I can imagine, you know, just what's going on over there, how crazy busy it is over there for you. So you get well. You need
to
stay
well.
Okay,
I will. Thank you. I will.
And
then one more time, the number is 815-964-4637. And Dolly, great to hear your voice again. And I know we keep talking about doing lunch sometime. We'll have to make that happen. Thank you for all you
we
do.
We will.
Okay.
Thanks, Scott. Okay. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Hang in there. You know, as I was telling Scott in the beginning of this interview, like I said, I came home from Chicago and thinking, wow, I made it home safe without the storm. and to turn on the TV and see the destruction and the pain and the loss that these people have experienced in Fairdale and in Rochelle and in Summerfield. It's just, it breaks my heart. But what happens now is to see all the goodness that happens now, all the good people that are pulling together for these communities. And hopefully, hopefully for me, I hope Fairdale is rebuilt. I love these little small farm communities, and maybe they'll build it and make it as cute as ever, and it become like a tourist attraction. What are the odds of a tornado hitting twice? We had that deadly tornado in Plainfield in 1990, and luckily nothing since. So I don't see why they wouldn't. So let's we got to move on, but go check out our Facebook page, the Dolly McCarthy Show Facebook page. We'll have more information on how you can volunteer, go up there and do be part of the cleanup, helping the families, and hopefully being a part of rebuilding somehow over there in those communities. So it was great to hear my old boss, one of the nicest guys in the business, hear his take and what they've all been going through over there in those stations. All right, we got to move on. My next guest is such a fine lady. I've been talking about, I talked about her earlier in the show. We have Naperville Cares, Janet Derricks, on the line to talk about upcoming fundraiser, their 12th annual Cuisine for a Cause. If you've never gone to this, what a treat it is. Let me tell you, it's like, let me tell you, you know, in Naperville, there's so many great restaurants here. And, you know, there's a lot, like 20 that they're going to feature at this Cuisine for a Cause. So here, you can hit all the restaurants in one night. I think it's a bargain.
It is. Thanks, Dolly.
Hi, Janet.
Hey, Dolly, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Exciting times going on. Tell us, before we get into the Cuisine for a Cause, I've already gave everybody the details on that. Let's talk about Naperville Cares and what's going on right now with Naperville Cares.
So Naperville Cares has been in the community for 15 years, and we serve the community by preventing homelessness here in our community. So we do that. We have two programs, where the first one is our emergency assistance program. So we help people, you know, that have hit a bump in the road, whether they've been ill and couldn't work and didn't get, you know, paid sick time, or they lost a job. We help people with emergency assistance for, like, basically rent and utilities. We also connect them to various services throughout the community to help them kind of with long-term goals. And most importantly, we collaborate and coordinate the financial assistance with all the local government. You know, if there's government funding available, which is limited, we will send them there first. And then we work with our local community partners, townships and congregations in particular, to help put more money to bear on a situation so people really can get over that hump. And then we also have a car program where we take donated vehicles, repair them and give them to families or individuals who need them to get to work. And then we also repair the cars of the working people that, you know, can't afford the car repair themselves. And that goal there is to keep them in a job. But again, it's all if you keep them in a job, then they can pay their rent. So it's really, you know, on the continuum of trying to end homelessness, we're on the first step. We try to prevent it in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. And those people right on the brink where they could teeter either way, you know, all they need is a little bit of help. And for a lot of cases, they need just a little bit of help, maybe a month or two, or maybe that one bill that could totally set them off or set them, you know, off track, and Naperville Cares comes to their rescue. How many families do you serve roughly annually?
Yeah, so it's about, you know, last year we got about 836 service requests from over 700 families and households. And then
are they
we end
all
up serving.
In Naperville or
and
are these
well, counties? Yes. So our emergency assistance is Naperville residents or members of a Naperville congregation, or we do partner with agencies throughout DuPage County. The CAR program is actually throughout DuPage County because there's very few sort of private organizations, non-religious based. So there are some programs if you're attached to a congregation that might have a program, but there's so there's no other really program. You know, there's many other CAR programs out there. You see here all the time for people to donate their CAR, but not all CAR programs are the same. We actually are one of the few programs that actually try to put somebody in a vehicle. And that does have tax implications. The IRS did change the rules for that. So while we do have to sell some vehicles that are just unrepairable, we make every attempt to give it to somebody for another job.
Wow. So, wow, you would be surprised, folks. Even in Naperville, 800-some-odd families used Naperville Care last year,
our last fiscal year,
You don't have numbers yet. It's only April here.
It's only April, yeah. Well, we're coming at we are in a fiscal year,
you know,
but sooner or later.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And I want to tell, I just started recently, I mentioned this a few weeks ago on my show about Naperville Cares and how, you know, everybody hits hard times in some form, shape, or another. And for the longest time, I didn't want anybody to know that I was struggling. And, you know, it's not something you're proud of because it also does look, sometimes people look at it as a reflection of failure on you personally. But really, it was something beyond my control. And thank God I had Naperville Cares there to my rescue. And you guys helped me. I think it was a couple of bills you helped me with. But then more importantly, you connected me with different agencies that really saved me. There was just a short period of time there that I just needed my hand to be held and to rebuild. And I really did avoid homelessness. I probably would have been the most famous homeless person in Naperville.
Well,
So my point is here to really recognize and tell people I am a personal testimonial to this organization, how successful it is and how there is such a need for it. So if you in any way, shape, or form could help Naperville Cares, but you never know when you're going to be on that end of the situation, good or bad, you know. So it's always good to find those groups that really do make a difference, and that Naperville Cares is definitely one of them. Janet, I'm so tight today on the show. I want to talk to you more. So we're going to have to just promote this Cuisine for a Cause. And do you want to make a point that I keep interrupting you?
Oh, no. Well, so thank you for sharing. It's very brave of you to share that, but there's a lot of stories out there. But, so the event is next Saturday, April 25th at 6:30 at Navistar. People can go to our website, www.napervillecares.org, and order your tickets, or they can call the office at 630-369-0200, and we can answer any questions or put in some ticket reservations for them. So we'd love to have people attend.
Fantastic. I'm going to be there. I'm excited. The Dolly McCarthy Show is one of the sponsors of the event. It looks like a great time. Hey, come on out. For how much is the ticket?
Tickets are $100. $100. All the food you can eat. All the food you can eat in an open bar.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much, Janet, for stopping by, and thanks for all the good things that Naperville Cares does under your leadership there. We really appreciate you coming by. And come on again. We'll have more time. That's for sure.
Thanks so much, Dolly, and thanks for your sponsorship.
You're so welcome. Okay, we'll see you next Saturday.
Next Saturday, April 25th.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
It's your day, your dress. It's time to say yes. Check out Virgin Couture in Naperville. Whether you're getting married or going to the prom, they've got the perfect dress for every occasion. And I want to do a shout out to them because I always go to them for my dresses. And I'm going there to pick up my dress on Friday for the Tri-City Family Services Gala. Tri-City Family Services Gala is this Saturday. The best part of Tri-City is its services are accessible to everyone because of the agency's sliding fee scale. They're having the 26th annual gala and benefit that will take place Saturday, April 18th at the Pheasant Run Resort in St. Charles. The theme for this year is Picture This, Supporting Healthy Families. It's a seated dinner. They're going to have entertainment, cocktails, and dancing. Tri-City Family Services is a leader in providing counseling and other mental health services that strengthen our community. And this event is this Saturday. So I want to do shout out to Tri-City for that. And, of course, the Dolly McCarthy Show is a very proud sponsor to be a part of that. Kankakee Barbecue Fest. We are back out in Kankakee this summer. It's July 9th, 10th, and 11th. The Barbecue Fest takes place. Hey, Friday night, Vanilla Ice is back. Yep. Friday night, Vanilla Ice will be there. Salt and Peppa. You remember Salt and Peppa? Don't make me sing it now. Saturday night, Jared Big, Greg Schneider Band, Ashton Shepard, Aaron Tippin, Josh Thompson, Craig Wayne Boyd, and again, Gary, he's going to sing late at night too again. So it's a great lineup for this Barbecue Fest. We are so proud to be a part of it. Oh, by the way, and Puddle of Mud will be there too, and Everett Craig is going to be there on Thursday night. Skeleton Crew as well. Oh, they have so many. I'm looking at this thing. So many people. They're also going to have a barbecue competition and all kinds of fun, good stuff. So good old time in the country in Kankakee this summer. Make plans July 9th, 10th, and 11th. Hey, for Mother's Day, if you're looking for a Mother's Day gift, the Brightside Theater is Naperville's only professional theater performing in historic downtown. Presents Rodgers and Hammerstein's classical musical, The Sound of Music. Celebrate the 50th anniversary of the motion picture by seeing the musical live on stage. It's a great gift for Mother's Day and a wonderful event for the whole family. It plays June 12th through the 28th. For tickets, call 630-637-7469. And, hey, I've got free tickets to give away for this event. And I was going to take calls. I just don't have the time today. I'm sorry. We needed time to talk to Scott. A couple more announcements. And guess who's up next? My favorite hot dog stand in the entire universe. Gene and Jude's is in the house. We're going to be talking to them in just a few minutes. But first, do you have a passion for doing good in the world? Did you know that 768 million people still drink unsafe water? Lack of clean water and good sanitation is the leading cause of preventable death in the world. And you can help by running for freedom on Saturday, July 7th in the Rotary Club of Naperville's Freedom 5K Run and 2-mile walk at Freedom Commons. We're raising money to tackle some of the world's most pressing challenges. To register, go to www.rotaryfreedom5k.com. The Dolly McCarthy Show is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Rotary Club of Naperville's Freedom 5K Run and 2-mile walk. I hope you'll join me for that. Okay, Garin Prep High School. Once again, these guys know how to throw a party. They're hosting the first inaugural Derby Day on Saturday, May 16th at Arlington Racetrack. The gates open at 12 noon. I'll be emceeing, so I'm with you all afternoon long. The tickets include an open bar, a 2-hour buffet with a chef's table. You know what that means, the carving station, Derby hat contest. What a great time this is going to be. Get those hats out of the closet, dust them off, or go find a fun hat. This is going to be a really fun day at the track, so we'll hope that you'll come out and support Garin Prep, my old alma mater. We do have sponsorships available, ad book opportunities. All the proceeds will help support the Garin Prep Scholarship Fund. And they're looking for auction items, so please contact Tina Lilly at 708-437-4730 for more on that. Okay, here's another fun thing for Mother's Day that you can all do. The Dolly McCarthy Show is a proud sponsor of the annual 360 Spring Ahead Let's Celebrate Mom 10K, 5K, Kids Obstacle Course, and get this, a high heel dash. Yes, I'm still trying to figure out what color heel I'm going to wear, what height. Should I go with the low or the really high spikes? It starts at 8 a.m. on Sunday, May 3rd. Let's celebrate mom. So join them in this race to support 360 Youth Services. You can register online at 360youthservices.org. Register today. Get everybody together. Get mom. How about getting mom up there? All right. Before we take our final guest for this show, boy, we've had a great show. I want to thank three more sponsors, Naperville Settlement for being a sponsor since the very beginning of the Dolly McCarthy Show. This is one of my favorite places on earth. You know, I got my favorite hot dog on earth, but my favorite place to relax and take a walk. In fact, they have these Wednesday walking clubs going on every Wednesday, 8 a.m. till 9. You can walk the grounds of Naperville Settlement, where history comes to play. Check out NapervilleSettlement.org. And also to my friends over at Divine Beauty Lux Spa. They are your sunless tanning professionals with answers to all of your sunless questions. Check out DivineBeautyLuxSpa.com. And, of course, last but not least, I mentioned this before, do a shout-out to NapervilleAlarm.com, the official alarm company of the Dolly McCarthy Show. Hey, thank you for my mugs, guys, boxes and boxes of the Dolly McCarthy Show mugs, and I'm enjoying passing them out. So let's hear it for NapervilleAlarm.com and for keeping me safe in my home. I'm going to have them on the show so they can talk about all the smartphone technology stuff. It's really, really cool. Okay, quick stop, and not a quick stop, I shouldn't say that, a quick little song, and we'll be right back. Okay, everybody, hang in there.
I said hello.
Hello,
Dolly.
listening to the Molly McDarthy Show.
Yeah, that's not right. Try it again.
You're listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
That's better. Let's roll.
She's the greatest gal on the radio. You're listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Well, thank you, Robbie Gold. I didn't even have to pay him for that. What a guy. What a swell guy. Hey, check out robbiegold.com. Got some great music. One of my favorite local artists in Chicago. Give him a shout out. He's always playing and singing outside the Captain Morgan Club right outside Wrigley Field. I had a great time listening to him a couple weeks ago at the home opener. All right. Speaking of the home opener, we were here in this very studio with Wayne Messmer a couple weeks ago enjoying these delicious hot dogs for breakfast. Gene and Jude, Dan from Gene and Jude's is on the line. Dan, are you there?
Yes.
Oops, Dan, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Dan. Okay. Well, Dan, I want to know more about these Gene and Jude hot dogs. I want to know why I'm addicted to these hot dogs. Why is everybody in Chicago addicted to these hot dogs? What makes these hot dogs so great? And first of all, thank you for all the hot dogs you brought to the show a couple weeks ago. Wayne and I and Michael Reiser, we really enjoyed our hot dog breakfast. I've never had a hot dog that early before, and it was fantastic.
Oh, you're welcome. We get a lot of people that sometimes start out with their first meal of the day having a hot dog. Right when we open at 10:30, sometimes there's 20, 30, 40 people waiting in line, so it's their first meal of the day before lunch.
But, now, Dan, you're the general manager there?
Yes, I've worked there for about 25 years since high school. And
Where did you go to high school, can I ask? Because Mother Guerin is right around the corner. That's where I went. Did you go to Holy Cross?
No, I went to West Lyme, but I'm familiar with Holy Cross and Mother Guerin. My fiance went to Mother Guerin, and some of our workers went to Holy Cross.
Yeah. Wow. I imagine there's got to be, because Gene and Jude's has been around since 1946, right? Do I have that year right?
Yes. They started in the city, and actually,
are you the oldest?
I know.
Yeah, we're going to talk about history, but I want to know: are you the oldest? Employee? Have you been working there the longest, or has there been anybody else longer than you?
No, there's one of the guys has been there for like about 25 or 30 years, and he's been on and off, you know, for a couple of years he didn't work with us, but he's back. And there's one of the other girls, she's been there for I think around 25, 26 years also. I mean, there's a handful of us that have been there for at least 15 years or more, but then there's a decent number of people that have been there for at least 10 years. I mean, it's a good family place to work for, and people tend to stay. I mean, and then you have some of the kids
that,
you know.
Is it the same family that owns it? Is it the same family that owns it since the beginning?
It's originally Gene started out, and then he brought his buddy from the neighborhood, Jude, into the business. But right now it's Gene's family that owns it. It's Gene's son.
Okay.
So it's still in the family. It's, you know, but I mean, and Gene's son's worked there since back in the 60s. So it's, you know, everything's the same.
Has the recipe stayed the same all these years?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you know, as far as I know, throughout the history, everything's the same. I mean, most of the 90% of the ingredients, I mean, since I've been there 25 years, everything's been the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know years and years ago, I mean, I think, you know, they had some bottled pop and just different stuff like that. But otherwise, you know, we've always just had hot dogs and fries and tamales. And I'm not sure if they've always had tamales all the way back into the 40s or not. I know since the
60s. Know what it is with Chicago and tamales with hot dog stands. It was so funny because I grew up on the Northwest Side. We would go to Gene and Jude's, especially on our way to Kittyland. But we also would go to Yojo's on Addison and Narragansett. And they had the same thing. You could get a hot dog or a tamale. We don't discriminate in Chicago. Here we go. But I wonder where the tamales came in. I wonder if the guys that were distributing the hot dogs, had a box of tamales and they needed to get rid of them, so they gave them the hot dog stands. And everybody, it was a big hit, so they kept doing it. I wonder if some crazy story like that. Do you have a hot dog every day, Dan?
You know what, I mean, I maybe have one a week. I mean, when I first started working there, I was probably having maybe about two or three a day, and I worked 5 days a week. But, I still like have them for lunch or dinner sometimes if I don't bring my own lunch. But I mean, a lot of the workers, like, that's what they have, like, before they start working on their lunch break. A lot of them have two or three hot dogs a day.
Wow. I bet a lot of people are in great shape working there.
Yeah.
If you can have a hot, I don't know. I think I just blew up after one. But you know what? It's so worth it. It's so delicious. When people come into the shop, are they all, it seems like whenever I'm in there, everybody's in a great mood, you know. And how do you keep these hot dogs so cheap? Like $2.50 for a hot dog with fries.
I mean, even though that we pick all the best ingredients, I mean, it's, you know, the profit margin's probably not too high, but it's just, you know, we try to get the best quality, and we just try to keep the price as cheap as possible. It's more about volume, not about, you know, making a profit.
Yeah, I see that. Talk about volume. The line's always out the door when I come. And everybody seems to be in a great mood. What do people tell you? Where have people come from as far away to get a Gene and Jude's hot dog that you've seen?
I mean, on any given night, I mean, we got people that come. We've had people come from DeKalb up by Crystal Lake. And, I mean, even from Kenosha, we had some people drive down just for the day. But a lot of times we get people come right from the airport, and they, you know, we're getting a story where they just came back from overseas or a trip or a vacation, or they're just in town to visit relatives, and they come right away to get the hot dogs. Sometimes they, like when Jim Belushi's in town, usually he'll come at least once while he's in town, and he'll
really?
And get a hot dog. So yeah.
Any other famous people come in there regularly besides Jim Belushi?
You know what I mean. Some of the Chicago like celebrities, and some of the, you know, on the radio people, and the some of the music people from the 60s. I can't think the guy's name. He's the lead singer of the Buckinghams. Yeah, he's been in before, and just some other music people. And I know, like, years ago when Jay Leno was in town, he sent his people in to get some hot dogs.
Dan, we're almost out of time. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I talked a little bit about the history of Gene and Jude's, which is really, really cool. If you're a Cubs fan, too, Papa Gene. What's Gene's? Tell us the story about how he started the hot dog stand and the style of the hot dog with the fries inside there.
Yeah, so back in the 1940s, he was at a baseball game. And I can't confirm whether it was Cubs or Sox. Yeah, I don't know if it was Cubs or Sox. It was a baseball game. That's the story. I'm not sure. But yeah, so he's at a baseball game, and he was, you know, they're ordering food, and he was just thinking, you know, what can I do that's different than this? And that's where he came up with the idea of putting the fries right on the hot dog. And that's how it all started out, because he was at a baseball game, and he just was like, you know what, I want to do this, but I want to do it different. And then, you know, he picked ingredients with just mustard, relish, onions, and peppers, no ketchup. And his view on the ketchup is, you know what, ketchup, if you need ketchup to put on your fries, that means your product's not good enough and you're trying to doctor it up with something else.
Ooh, that's why. So it's almost an insult. When you walk in there and you ask for ketchup, it's almost an insult to the chef.
Yes, and, you know, because, you know, ketchup's kind of a condiment to, you know, so, you know, to doctor up something that doesn't taste good.
Wow. Well, I can't say enough good things about the hot dogs. They are fantastic. If you're listening to the show and you've never had a Gene and Jude's hot dog, make your way over there. Dan, I'm so excited because today I'm having some of my past guests and clients of the Dolly McCarthy Show, supporters of the show. We're having a little party here, and I'm so thrilled that Gene and Jude's is going to be serving us lunch. I can't wait to have this lunch. We're torturing a lot of people listening to this show right now. You might have a line. You might have an extra long line out the door now with people coming in just hearing about this, because I tell you, these are the best hot dogs in Chicago. And don't you dare ask for ketchup. It's funny, though. You know the McDonald's next door to you guys? When my kids were really young, my youngest needed the ketchup, so I would have to swing around the McDonald's drive-thru, and they would charge me like $1 for the packet of ketchup, because there's some people that need it. And I bet they had a lot of people coming through the McDonald's drive-thru asking for the ketchup, because you won't find it at Gene and Jude's. And it just, you're right. It is, you don't need it on these hot dogs. You could even eat a plain. Well, Dan, thank you so much for calling into the show today. Keep doing what you're doing. We love good things, and Gene and Jude is one of them.
All right, thanks, and have a great day.
Say hello to the family for me. La familia. All right, Gene and Jude's hot dogs. Doesn't get any better than that, I will tell you. Okay, everybody, we have to wrap up the show. We have to end the show. Oh, it's nice to end the show on a good note. Hot dogs. We always say be positive and be good, everybody. Be good to each other. And if you haven't done so already, please like the Dolly McCarthy Show on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We'll be back next week with another great show, good show. Mayor Pradel, the mayor of Naperville, will be on the show, as well as somebody from Turning Point. I think it's going to be Kristen Daniels from Turning Point Autism. We're going to talk more about Autism Awareness Month. And we have a very special guest next week, too. I'm not going to say who, but it's special. You'll have to tune in. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show. It's been a great day. All right. So long, everybody. Till next week.
Thanks for listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show. Let me hear you.